Hello and welcome to SourceCast episode number 31. I'm your host, Joey Lombardi. We're back from vacation, and I was in a technological dead zone. No cell phone signal, no internet, a stack of books, and a mesh Wi-Fi network that I built to watch movies on the tablets. Gotta make sure the four-year-old can watch The Good Dinosaur. This week, HP has caught my attention. We have talked about HP before. Lately, it has been in a somewhat cautious tone, but they won big. We should recognize them for it and discuss what they're going to do with all of this money. IBM and Cisco issued a press release. They're working on some collaboration tools together. They are collaborating on collaboration. I'm going to ask you the question, is Java dead? We'll find out later. We really won't find out. It's really more of a rhetorical question. There's that and so much more. Let's start the show. So let's talk about HP. So HP splits into two companies last year, HP Inc. and Hewlett Packard Enterprise. I mentioned on this podcast many moons ago that I thought it was strange that the acquired autonomy products, or the vast majority of them, remained with HP Inc. It did not fit in with their corporate structure. And lo and behold, they sold it off to OpenText. Then a few weeks ago, they announced that they are selling off even more software to OpenText, which is the Extreme software and a couple of other products. On the other side of the house, Hewlett Packard Enterprise recently announced that they are splitting off their consulting services group, formerly EDS, and then their own consulting division, and then immediately merging it with CSC. And if you want a deeper analysis on that, go back a few podcasts and you can hear that. But over the last month, other news came out that Hewlett Packard Enterprise was suing Oracle because Oracle discontinued support for the Itanium chipset, which HP claims cost them billions of dollars in business. So last week, a judge ruled in Hewlett Packard Enterprise's favor and awarded $3 billion in compensation from Oracle to HP. The crux of this case was Oracle stating that Itanium was not popular, and they discontinued it, and they moved on with their lives. HPE's beef is that they got assurance from Oracle that they would continue to support the product. And I even think that they went to court before about this, and Oracle committed to continuing to support the product, and then almost immediately dropped support.
Ancient spirits of evil, transform this decayed form to Mumra, the ever-living!
So HP won, and of course, Oracle will contest, like they're contesting all of their losses right now. But at the moment, HP is flush with $3 billion in cash.
And also bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right? You got it.
So now we have a company. It ripped off its consulting services. It split off its iconic desktop and printer line. And what are you left with? That's the question that people keep asking me. What is left of HP or Hewlett Packard Enterprise? Out of the gate, they're storage. And they are a solid number two in the storage area, trending towards one in some areas. You have enterprise servers and the hybrid cloud market. I'm curious to see if they're going to continue to make that hardware or if they'll sell that off like IBM did. They have retained some software. They don't have a consulting brand to help you configure it, but they still have the software. They still have a decent portfolio of software. And in that arena, one of the former autonomy products called Hexis seems to be the basis of their version of AI or cognitive intelligence. Not to repeat myself, but I think I've mentioned this in a few other podcasts, I'm still not sure what Hewlett Packard Enterprise's identity is. I've referred to them as an IBM Lite, but now with their consulting wings cut off, are they becoming a storage company? Is that what HPE is now? A storage company that focuses on BI? Is that what they've shed down to? I don't know, but they're $3 billion richer, and that leads me to believe that there will be some acquisition, even though historically, and we've mentioned this again, they're not very good at acquisitions. But they seem to have a strategy. They seem to be going in a direction. Now, let me go back for a second. We talked about consulting services and the fact that they don't have them anymore. But that might have been a smart move for them. Their consulting services branch was bringing in approximately $1 billion a year. But a couple of years ago, it cost them $1.5 to operate. Meg Whitman has been trimming that deficit down. But I think for these larger, classic American companies with a focus on consulting, like your IBMs, like your HPs, it was hard for them to compete with the offshore consulting services. Your Wipros, your Tatas, your Cognizants, your HCLs, and then throw in the domestic ones like EY and Accenture, which uses offshore resources, and it's really hard to compete. You can race to the bottom. So they didn't. They cut it off. I'm curious to see if IBM is going to follow suit, because they've slashed their version of the same division dramatically. But we're not talking about IBM. We're talking about HP. And we're talking about an HP that's $3 billion richer. So pay attention to what they're going to spend their money on next, because I think that'll be a very good indication on where they are going as a company. And another good indication of where they are as a company, in the midst of all of this, there was another restructuring. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise's longtime chief technology officer, Martin Fink, has decided to leave the company. We're talking about a 30-year career. In addition to Fink leaving, HPE's chief customer officer, John Hinshaw, was also leaving. And Whitman used both of those departures to announce a massive restructuring. Like IBM, Hewlett-Packard had an innovation division, independent groups that came up with ideas that they could ultimately turn into products to sell. From the articles, that was Martin Fink's baby. So they're taking that group that was sort of independent and merging it with their enterprise group that's focused on sales for the data center. Aha! Now the picture is coming to light. So what did I say before? What's left of HP? Storage. Enterprise servers. Certain enterprise software. And when you put those things together, there is a very specific audience that Hewlett-Packard Enterprise is trying to talk to. Doesn't sound like they're trying to groom general business. Their focus is going to be on IT professionals, IT leaders, specifically in data centers, specifically who don't want to use public cloud, and help them set up their own infrastructure and get them out to the market. Or at least that's the way it looks to me. Guess we'll find out. Since we talked about Oracle losing things, let's just throw in, is Oracle trying to kill Java? Well, maybe not all of Java, but it sounds like a certain subsection of Java called Java EE is at least stagnating. An article in Ars Technica stated that an Oracle employee that worked on Java EE has told others in the community that they have been ordered to work on other things. There's also been some talk of Java EE developers forking the platform and bringing it back to its open source roots. The general vibe from the open source community and Java developers is that Oracle is taking similar actions as to when they stopped supporting the OpenOffice platform, which then forked into LibreOffice. So is it possible to see a completely open-sourced version of Java that is not under the control of Oracle? I'll do more digging on that one. Speaking of digging, IBM and Cisco are trying to dig themselves out of a hole, and they're working together. To those of us working in large corporate environments, collaboration tools like Slack and Trello and Asana and Quip, that might all sound like gibberish to you. But those are tools that many people work on a daily basis to collaborate, share documents, message with each other, manage projects, and it's cutting into companies like Microsoft and IBM and Cisco's profits. There are a lot of familiar collaboration products available to enterprise markets. Things like Microsoft SharePoint, Microsoft's Link Instant Messaging tool, Cisco's GoToMeeting conferencing solution, and IBM has dabbled in the email space for years, first with Lotus Notes, and then recently they introduced Verse. In addition to email, IBM has also introduced an intranet-like Facebook social media platform called Connections that also emerges like document publications and blogging and address books. So you have major companies trying to get a foothold on these collaborative social tools, and younger users are flocking to these freer alternatives, or cheaper at least, alternatives. Slack is a major collaborative platform for instant messaging, document sharing, and then there's tools like Trello, which is a task and project management tool that Microsoft is going after hard. They actually just announced a Trello-like project management tool called Planner that'll be part of the Office 365 suite. And it looks extremely similar to Trello, just a little bit more polished. And then for tools like GoToMeeting, there's alternatives like Uber Conference, which are easy to set up and have better controls. So what's the point? These younger companies that have less money to spend on software are using these web-based, app-based, interconnected tools that don't require infrastructure. It's easy to set up and it's easy to start collaborating. And the stalwart companies like IBM, Cisco, Microsoft, they're trying to attract customers that are going to continue to use their products for the years to come and develop a loyalty. So Cisco and IBM are getting together. And this is an ongoing trend. We've seen IBM make partnerships with Dropbox, make partnerships with Twitter. Cisco made a deal with Ericsson to integrate and develop new products together. So this most recent announcement shows that Cisco's collaboration platform called Spark, which is a competitor to Slack, and their WebEx conferencing and GoToMeeting conferencing platforms will be integrated into IBM Connections. So theoretically, if you are a user of IBM Connections, you could initiate a call, you could make it easier to instant message and share documents. And of course, they want to introduce cognitive workflow capabilities from IBM Watson. Because of course, Watson. And don't confuse my sarcastic tone with being negative on this. This is smart. These partnerships are smart. These companies aren't running around trying to buy each other. They're trying to integrate their tools so they work on common platforms. It's smart. The question is, are these products accessible enough for younger workers to use them, to learn them, to know them? So if they move on from their trendy blogging job and shift over to a more traditional corporate role, the tools will be familiar, or vice versa. If someone from a traditionally corporate role shifts over to, I don't know what to call it, a trendier job, they bring those tools with them. And that's the crux for a company like IBM, a Microsoft, and a Cisco. Can they scale down? Can they make these tools accessible? Because in an era where a startup company can get a custom domain, custom email address, private document collaboration space, instant messaging within an organization for $50 an employee per year, and then integrate all of these quote-unquote free services like Slack and Trello, what's the incentive to go with a company like an IBM or a Microsoft where you have to lock yourself into a contract, you have to buy in bulk to get the sweeter discounts, and you have to keep buying into a program and going deeper into their infrastructure to continue to keep their costs down? Man, I'm depressing today. To recap, unless you have an international workforce, consulting is damn near impossible to make a profit on. Traditional software models are expensive and discouraging for small companies to start up and use. And if you make your money selling software, smaller companies that are more agile and cheaper and easier to do business with are eating away at your margins and your customer base. I guess that sweet spot's storage. Keep looking at Dropbox. I'm going to end this week on an opposite note from episode 30. Episode 30, I questioned the logic on these mega mergers companies have been so enthralled with lately. San Diego Times had an article on Red Hat, and they asked the question, what sets Red Hat apart from the Valley? And they cite Red Hat's acquisition of JBoss as an example. That acquisition remains a cornerstone of the company's offerings. It's something that continues to drive business for the company and is a solid asset. Last year, Red Hat also purchased Ansible. That's a provisioning system that competes with Chef and Puppet. In the case of Ansible, JBoss, and they just recently purchased Threescale, Red Hat seized a smaller company that was doing well, but hadn't quite reached a huge market share yet. People didn't quite know about these products yet. So how does a company like Red Hat make these acquisitions work? Red Hat CFO Frank Calderoni said that these successes came from disciplined acquisition goals. And I quote, "It's never a perfect situation, but it's about the overall portfolio. The acquisitions have helped us. It wasn't like we went into a new part of the business. It was an extension of what we were already working on." Calderoni calls them technology tuck-ins. To continue the quote, "We've chosen acquisitions where the alignment to what we do is very close. Therefore, you can integrate on the technology side. Most of our acquisitions were open source, and those that weren't, we worked through to move it to a more open source solution." So it goes back to what I said last week. It's about researching your targets, ensuring that they make sense, ensuring that they're a tight cultural fit, ensuring that you're not overspending for them, and then executing. There is most certainly an art to that. So thank you for listening this week. We will be back with episode number 32 next week.